Now turn to part three. You'll hear a radio discussion on the subject of dictionaries. For questions 18 to 22, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at part three.
The creation of dictionaries used to be a slow and genteel process, but these days dictionaries seem to be subject to the same pressures as any other book. I'm joined by Dr. Elaine Wilson, publishing manager for the New London Dictionary, and Tony Travis, who's a professional dictionary compiler, otherwise known as a lexicographer. Elaine, do you agree that competitive pressure is now there in dictionaries?
I think it's true generally. There's an enormous market for dictionaries overseas now, for example. And I feel under a lot of pressure from management. We have to maximise the income that we make from dictionaries, and of course the way to do that is to keep them as up-to-date as possible.
And how are the decisions made?
There's a rigorous system for assessing whether a new word should go in the dictionary. We have a team of readers who go through material for us and provide us with examples, and this gives us a big database. We then look at any potential new entries, and what we're looking for is the frequency and breadth of use. So we want to see that a word's being used by more than one journalist, commentator, writer or speaker. And we're also looking for use in more than one level of media.
Tony, people say anecdotally that the influence of America is very strong because of television programmes, movies, the internet. Do we see that also in dictionaries?
Oh, yes. The American domination of the media still means that a lot of the new words come from the United States. But there is a fight back. There's a lot more Australian, Caribbean, Northern English coming into the language, mainly through slang.
Elaine, we talked about the internet and new technology. It must make it easier to track a word.
Oh, yes, it does. Much of the data gathering that our various teams do in order to authenticate a new word or usage has been accelerated. It's also improved the compiling process because all the stages are done electronically and equipment will continue developing over the next decade or so.
Does it worry you, Tony, this competitive pressure?
Oh, yes. And in fact, I must be clear about this. This is not a totally objective profession. I mean, it's very interesting if you look at these new dictionaries. There are very few technical terms relating to farming, climbing and fishing, for example. But there are a huge number relating to alternative medicine, the theatre and journalism. I think this says something about where the lexicographers are coming from.
Very briefly, both of you. Doctors have this mania for finding a new disease. Is it tempting to invent a word yourself to go into the dictionary? Tony?
I've been told that most lexicographers slip in at least one invention just to...
Do you have to watch your staff on this?
No, we never slip in our own invented words. That would go against everything we stand for. Anyway, we have our work cut out capturing all the genuine new words without trying to invent others.
All right, we believe you. Elaine Wilson and Tony Travis, thank you.
Now you'll hear part three again.
The creation of dictionaries used to be a slow and genteel process, but these days dictionaries seem to be subject to the same pressures as any other book. I'm joined by Dr. Elaine Wilson, publishing manager for the New London Dictionary, and Tony Travis, who's a professional dictionary compiler, otherwise known as a lexicographer. Elaine, do you agree that competitive pressure is now there in dictionaries?
I think it's true generally. There's an enormous market for dictionaries overseas now, for example. And I feel under a lot of pressure from management. We have to maximise the income that we make from dictionaries, and of course the way to do that is to keep them as up-to-date as possible.
And how are the decisions made?
There's a rigorous system for assessing whether a new word should go in the dictionary. We have a team of readers who go through material for us and provide us with examples, and this gives us a big database. We then look at any potential new entries, and what we're looking for is the frequency and breadth of use. So we want to see that a word's being used by more than one journalist, commentator, writer or speaker. And we're also looking for use in more than one level of media.
Tony, people say anecdotally that the influence of America is very strong because of television programmes, movies, the internet. Do we see that also in dictionaries?
Oh, yes. The American domination of the media still means that a lot of the new words come from the United States. But there is a fight back. There's a lot more Australian, Caribbean, Northern English coming into the language, mainly through slang.
Elaine, we talked about the internet and new technology. It must make it easier to track a word.
Oh, yes, it does. Much of the data gathering that our various teams do in order to authenticate a new word or usage has been accelerated. It's also improved the compiling process, because all the stages are done electronically and equipment will continue developing over the next decade or so.
Does it worry you, Tony, this competitive pressure?
Oh, yes. And in fact, I must be clear about this. This is not a totally objective profession. I mean, it's very interesting if you look at these new dictionaries. There are very few technical terms relating to farming, climbing and fishing, for example. But there are a huge number relating to alternative medicine, the theatre and journalism. I think this says something about where the lexicographers are coming from.
Very briefly, both of you. Doctors have this mania for finding a new disease. Is it tempting to invent a word yourself to go into the dictionary? Tony?
I've been told that most lexicographers slip in at least one invention just to...
Do you have to watch your staff on this?
No, we never slip in our own invented words. That would go against everything we stand for. Anyway, we have our work cut out capturing all the genuine new words without trying to invent others.
All right, we believe you. Elaine Wilson and Tony Travis, thank you.
That's the end of part 3.